sacred month with sacred lessons. A month of reflection, a month of grace. A month of reflection, a month of grace. Seeking sacred lessons in this blessed place. Seeking sacred lessons in this blessed place.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is very beautifully reported to have said, the one who recites durood, salutation, salawat, salam 50 times upon me daily, I will shake hands with him on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Marhaba, khush amdeed. Welcome to one and all to another beautiful episode of the series known as A Sacred Month with Sacred Lessons. Subhanallah, it is a beautiful month of Muharram al-Haram and some beautiful discussions took place. Yesterday we left you on a bit of suspense and today without further delay, inshallah, we'll move directly towards our silsila, towards our discussion, inshallah, azawajal. But before that, let me give a quick recap on whatever we discussed previously. We started off in the beginning of our series with the Sahaba Ikram and then the Khulafai Rashideen with the excellent sequence, you know, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, then Sayyidina Umar Farooq, then Sayyidina Usman Ghani, then Sayyidina Ali, and then we moved on to the Ahle Bayt Athar, Sayyidina Fatima Zahra, Hassanayn Kareemayn, Sayyidina Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. And we also then yesterday started on the incident of Karbala, Waqia Karbala. What actually happened? What were the incidents which led towards the Battle of Karbala? To summarize everything in a few words, Yazid actually wanted the leadership and he wanted to become the ruler, the hukumran. He wanted to become the Amir, the Khalifa, whatever the case was. And he wanted to force Imam Hussein to take bayat on his hands because he knew if Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who takes bayat on his hands, then, you know, he is one of the greatest personalities. Automatically, everyone else will start taking bayat on my hands because if the leader accepts, everyone else accepts. So his main focus was to, ma'adhala, put pressure on Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And, you know, Sayyidina Imam Hussein was in Madinatul Munawwara, the city of his beloved Nana Jan, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. And he didn't want any bloodshed, any fights, any, you know, problems to take place in Madinatul Munawwara. So he decided to leave the beautiful city of Medina and go towards Makkatul Mukarrama. Allah, Allah, subhanallah. And when Sayyidina Imam Hussein reached Makkatul Mukarrama, the people from Kufa sent letters that it is now time that please come to Kufa and let us take bayat on your hands so that we shouldn't take bayat on the hands of Yazid. And Sayyidina Imam Hussein thought that if I do not go to Kufa and on the day of Qiyamah, if these people go in the court of Allah and say that, you know, we wanted the beloved grandson of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to come to us so we may take bayat on his hands, but he didn't come, that is why we were forced to take bayat on the hands of Yazid, then what is going to be my answer in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, you know, he decided to leave Makkatul Mukarrama and go towards Kufa, but some Sahaba Ikram, great Sahaba Ikram like Sayyidina Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and other Sahaba Ikram, you know, they stopped Sayyidina Imam Hussein and said that, you know, the people of Kufa, their qualities and one of the most famous characteristics and attributes is that they are very, you know, deceptive people. They like to deceive others and they're not true to their words. They are disloyal. They are dishonest. They are not faithful. So, you know, Sayyidina Imam Hussein, after listening to his beautiful words of wisdom, he decided to send one of his relatives, Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil, to go towards Kufa and assess the entire situation, see what is the current situation, are these people speaking the truth, are they lying, are they deceiving us, what's the case, and whatever the feedback is, then we will decide accordingly. And when Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil went to Kufa, the people readily accepted him in thousands and thousands. And Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you know, people were strongly backing Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil sent a message towards Madinatul Munawwara that Sayyidina Imam Hussein is safe, that now he should come, and these people here are sincere. On the other hand, when Yazid came to know what is happening here and he felt that his throne or his seat was in danger, and he knew that if I do not take any action quickly, then this governance and this rulership will slip away from my hands. So what he decided was, at that time the governor of Kufa was Sayyidina Nu'man bin Bashir, who was a Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a very pious, excellent personality. And he knew that this person will never ever go against Sayyidina Imam Hussein or Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil. So Yazid wanted someone like him, someone filthy, someone greedy, someone, you know, drowned in the greed of wealth and you know, temptations. So he said that, let me take one of my people and make him the ruler or the governor of Kufa. And that filthy personality, a person, was Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad. And you know, Yazid then made him the governor of Kufa. And when he became the governor of Kufa, then he sent the rule out that anyone who stands with Sayyidina Muslim bin Aqil or supports him in any way, then, you know, we will attack that person, we will kill him, we will kill his family, we will torture him. And they start putting different sorts of threats out in the city of Kufa, and people started becoming scared. And that's when people started leaving Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil to such an extent that at the time of Salah, the entire Jama'at was with Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil. And at the time of Salam, there was nobody with him. Allah, 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 Allah. And the biggest concern of Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil was not his own life. It was that I have already sent the message to Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I already told him, informed him that it is safe for him to come. So when he arrives, then what will be the situation? And this is where we will carry on from today, inshallah, azawajal. With us once again, I do have Munasin Madani sahab. Munasin sahab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa
barakatuh. How are you, Munasin sahab?
Alhamdulillah, ala kulli hal.
Mashallah, alhamdulillah. Munasin sahab is with us, and yesterday Munasin sahab very beautifully explained this entire incident, which I tried to summarize in a few minutes. Alhamdulillah. Without any further delay, inshallah, we will now move towards our first segment of the entire episode. And that is obviously listening to a beautiful kalam in the praise of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as soon as we return, we will then carry on our discussion. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein,
Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein,
Hussein,
Lahu ke phool badan par saja rahe hai Hussein, gale pe tair hai aur muskura rahe hai Hussein, Lahu ke phool badan par saja rahe hai Hussein, gale pe tair hai aur muskura rahe hai Hussein,
gudaze qalb ko phir aazma rahe hai Hussein, gudaze qalb ko phir aazma rahe hai Hussein, zameen sakht pe khayma laga rahe hai Hussein, zameen sakht pe khayma laga rahe hai Hussein,
lahu ke phool badan par saja rahe hai Hussein, gale pe tair hai aur muskura rahe hai Hussein,
ya Hussein,
phool badan par saja rahe hai Hussein, gale pe tair hai
Yazid waqt ko shayad abhi ye ghosh nahi, Yazid waqt ko shayad abhi ye ghosh nahi, ke morche nahi jange jita rahe hain Hussein, ke morche nahi jange jita rahe hain Hussein,
lahu ke phool badan par saja rahe hain Hussein, gale pe tair hai aur muskura rahe hain Hussein, lahu ke phool badan par saja rahe hain Hussein, gale pe tair hai aur muskura rahe hain Hussein,
badan ke naqra isi ke lahu ki ashrafiyan, badan ke naqra isi ke لہو کی اشرفیاں خزانے ایسے ہیں جن کو لٹا رہے ہیں حسین خزانے ایسے ہیں جن کو لٹا رہے ہیں حسین
لہو کے پھول بدن پر سجا رہے ہیں حسین گلے پہ تیر ہے اور مسکرا رہے ہیں حسین
یا حسین
بدن پر سجا رہے ہیں حسین گلے پہ تیر ہے اور مسکرا رہے ہیں حسین
حسینیوں کو مبارک کے دشت کربل میں حسینیوں کو مبارک کے دشت کربل میں حسینیوں کو مبارک کے دشت کربل میں نبی کے دین کی شمعیں جلا رہے ہیں حسین نبی کے دین کی شمعیں جلا رہے ہیں حسین
لہو کے پھول بدن پر سجا رہے ہیں حسین گلے پہ تیر ہے اور مسکرا رہے ہیں حسین لہو کے پھول بدن پر سجا رہے ہیں حسین گلے پہ تیر ہے
چلو کہ اشرف خستہ سے منقبت سن لو چلو کہ اشرف خستہ سے منقبت سن لو زبان غیب سے سب کو بلا رہے ہیں حسین زبان غیب سے سب کو بلا رہے ہیں حسین
لہو کے پھول بدن پر سجا رہے ہیں حسین گلے پہ تیر ہے اور مسکرا رہے ہیں حسین
یا حسین
بدن پر سجا رہے ہیں حسین گلے پہ تیر ہے اور مسکرا رہے ہیں
حسین
صلی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. مرحبا مرحبا ماشاء اللہ. ویلکم بیک ٹو آور سلسلہ اینڈ یو آر واچنگ اے سیکرڈ منتھ وتھ سیکرڈ لیسنز اونلی آن مدنی چینل الحمد للہ. اینڈ دس بیوٹیفل ایپیسوڈ از ایئرڈ آل دا وے فرام جوہانسبرگ ساؤتھ افریقہ ماشاء اللہ. وداؤٹ اینی فردر ڈیلے ٹو ریموو دا سسپینس لیٹس گو ٹوورڈز آور گیسٹ فار ٹو ڈے. منان صاحب, I tried to summarize the entire incident in a few brief words for our viewers and listeners, for those that missed yesterday's episode in any case. And we are now at that point where Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil is left all alone in Kufa, and the letter of inviting Sayyidina Imam Hussein has already left towards Medina. What is the incident after that?
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidi al-Mursaleen amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. After the people of Kufa left Imam Muslim bin Aqil رضي الله تعالى عنه alone, and Ibn Ziyad became the governor, and he threatened people, warned them, and forced them to leave Imam Muslim bin Aqil رضي الله تعالى عنه. So Imam Muslim bin Aqil رضي الله تعالى عنه became alone in Kufa. So then after that, Ibn Ziyad appointed Ibn Ash'ath to arrest Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu was staying by someone, and when Ibn Ash'ath somehow found out about Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he went to that house, and a war took place between Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu and them. So they could not compete with Sayyidina Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he was also the one of the lion of the Ahl Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So lion of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So when they realized that we are not able to fight against him, we are not able to compete Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so they deceived him, and they gave him a fake refuge. So when Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu heard from them that we have given you the refuge, we will not do anything to you. So Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu went with them. But the deception of Kufis is very famous, unfaithfulness is very common. So they did the same thing to Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They took him to ابن زیاد. سو وین امام مسلم بن عقیل رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ واز اسٹینڈنگ ان فرنٹ آف ابن زیاد, سو ابن زیاد یو نو آسک ہم فیو تھنگس, سو ہی آنسرڈ اینڈ سم ڈسکشن ٹوک پلیس ان بٹوین. سو ہی واز اسپیکنگ لائک دا یو نو روئرنگ لائک اے لائن روئرز ایکچولی, بیکاز ہی واز دا لائن آف آل مائٹی اللہ, لائن آف دی گرینڈ سن آف نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ہی ہیڈ نو فیئر, ہی آلسو یو نو لوڈ ٹو بی سیکریفائزڈ ان دی بارگ آف آل مائٹی اللہ. سو ابن زیاد گٹ اپسیٹ اینڈ بیکم ویری اینگری, سو ہی ڈیسائڈیڈ ٹو کل حضرت امام مسلم بن عقیل رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. سو ہی آرڈرڈ دیم ٹو ٹیک امام مسلم بن عقیل رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ ٹو دا روف آف دی بلڈنگ اینڈ کل ہم اینڈ سیپریٹ ہز ہیڈ فرام ہز باڈی اینڈ دین تھرو ہز باڈی الانگ ود ہز ہیڈ فرام دا بلڈنگ, فرام دا روف آف دی بلڈنگ. اینڈ سو اوپریسلی mercilessly they killed Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they threw the blessed body of Imam Muslim bin Aqil along with his head from the roof of the building, and they dishonored the blessed body of Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He attained shahadat inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. But after this all happened, journey of the martyrdom of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu had already started from Madinatul Munawwara. He left Madinatul Munawwara, then he was present at that time in Makkatul Mukarrama and waiting for the reply or the letter from Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Imam Muslim bin Aqil had already written a letter to Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu and ensured him about the safety and told him about the circumstances of Kufa and the people of Kufa. So he told him to come to Kufa as soon as possible. So when that letter reached Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so even though Imam Muslim bin Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu had been made shaheed in Kufa, but Imam Hussain was not aware of that, because when the letter reached Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, so in the letter it was written that you come to Kufa as soon as possible, people love you, people want you to visit them, and they want to do bayat in your hand. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to leave Makkatul Mukarrama. Those days when people from different areas, from different cities, from different countries, from different places, were coming to Makkatul Mukarrama to perform Hajj Baitullah. These were the days of Hajj actually. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu was planning to leave Makkatul Mukarrama. Sahaba ikram Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain insisted him again and told him about the fear which they had regarding the zaat of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They told him that these people love dirhams and dinar, that their hearts are with you, but their swords are with Banu Umayyah, their swords are not with you, they martyr you, you will become shaheed if you go there, so your family will be destroyed, you will be destroyed, so don't go. But Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu mentioned to the sahaba of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wasallam that time that I have heard my father, there will be a ram who will make the sanctity of Makkah lawful, so I don't want to be that ram, I don't wish to be that ram. So meaning I don't want to become the cause of blood shed in Makkatul Mukarrama, so therefore I will have to leave Makkatul Mukarrama. Finally Imam Hussain decided to leave. Hazrat Jafar Tayyar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, meanwhile he also reached, and he reached by Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He also requested Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu to go back, but Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu refused when he insisted him and asked him the reason of not listening and refusing. So Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that I have seen a dream, I have saw my Nana Jan in my dream, and Nana Jan has commanded me to do something, so in any circumstances, whether they are going to be suitable for me, harmful for me, beneficial for me, in any circumstances I will have to fulfill the commandment of my beloved Nana Jan sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so I will not change my plan, I will go forward, because Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given some instructions to Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, had commanded Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. People were thinking in different way, but the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam was thinking in a different way, because he knew that if I will go there, then there is the protection of Islam, then there is the protection of the religion, then there is the protection of the mazhab, then there is the protection of the sunnah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even I will be made shaheed, my family will be made shaheed, whole Ahl Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam will be made shaheed, but as my Nana Jan has commanded me to go and fulfill his commandment, so I will have to go, I will not worry about the circumstances. So Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu went forward. He reached to another place, and then he intended to rest over there. He put his tent over there and stayed there for some time, and then they saw, meaning the family of Imam حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, دی اہل بیت آف نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دی کمپینینز آف نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دے سو سم پیپل کمنگ رننگ ٹوورڈز دیم. سو فسٹ دے سیڈ دیٹ دیز آر دا ٹریز آف ڈیٹس, اینڈ دین یو نو آفٹر اے وائل وین دے کیم مور کلوزر دے ریئلائزڈ دیٹ دیز آر ناٹ دا ڈیٹس ٹری, دے آر سم پیپل ہو آر کمنگ ٹوورڈز اس. سو دے ریچڈ ٹو دی فیملی آف امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, وین دے ریچڈ دے سو دیٹ ہر
جی
کیم ود دا آرمی آف 1000 پیپل. سو امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ آرڈرڈ ہز فیملی ٹو پرووائڈ واٹر ٹو دی ہر اینڈ ہز آرمی ایز ویل ایز ٹو دی ہورسز اینیملز آف دیم. سو امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ پرووائڈیڈ واٹر ٹو دیم. آفٹر دیٹ امام حسین رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ پرفارمڈ ظہر صلاح, اینڈ ہی آسکڈ ہر اینڈ ہز آرمی دیٹ ویدر یو ول پرفارم صلاح بیہائنڈ می اور یو ول پرفارم یور اون صلاح. So they decided to perform behind Imam Hussain رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, because Imam Hussain رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ also had done a big favor to them. He had provided them water. It was the behavior of Kufis that they stopped water from Imam Hussain رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ, and they kept the family, noble family of Nabi Pak صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم thirsty and hungry for many, many days. But the behavior of Imam Hussain رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ was different. When Hur, along with his army, 1,000 people, he reached, first of all Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu presented water to them and provided water to their horses, and after that Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed Zuhur Salah with Jamaat, and Hur, due to this favor maybe he also decided to perform Salah behind Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So they also performed Salah behind Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This also shows that these Ahle Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in any case, in any circumstances, they never ever left Salah. They used to perform Salah on time, like, they were on the way to Kufa, the circumstances were not suitable for them. The army of Hur, came, it was also a stress actually and worry that why these 1,000 people, loaded with the weapons and swords and spears and arrows, they are here. But at that time, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when the time of Zuhur came, he said that let us perform Salah first. He performed Salah, Zuhur Salah, and then they went back to their tents. Imam Hussain and his family went back to their tents. Then the Asr time came, they performed Asr Salah as well together, and after that Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up and gave khutbah to the army of Yazid, and he mentioned his excellency, and I am the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about me and my son that we are the leaders of the youth of Jannah. And then after mentioning the excellencies of the Ahle Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I am not going to Kufa on my own choice. You are the one who sent letters to me, and due to your letters I am going. So what do you want from us now? So Hur refused and said that no, I don't know about any of these letters. Then Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he emptied the entire sack of the letters in front of Hur. So Hur said that no, I am not the one who wrote these letters. I have been commanded to remain with you until you reach to Ibn Ziyad.
Allah. A very beautiful turn in the entire incident. And some beautiful lessons we have already listened to. One of those lessons, obviously, that is pertaining to Salah, that even in those dire circumstances, the Ahle Bayt Athar did not leave the fard, the obligations which was compulsory upon them, and that is the performance of Salah. And the second beautiful quality and attribute which we can extract from their wonderful lives is the gharana of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How beautiful they are, that if someone opposes them, hurts them, swears them, insults them, and in return their answer is only sweet words, is only beautiful words. Subhanallah. As Hur, when he arrived in front of Sayyidina Imam Hussain, then obviously he came with a different intention, different mindset, but the sweetness of Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu melted his heart. Subhanallah. And he agreed to perform Salah behind Sayyidina Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala. This shows the beautiful character of the Ahle Bayt Athar, and one beautiful quality which they had is that no matter whatever someone does, your duty is always to be sweet. A very important lesson for all of us, for those that have fights and issues amongst themselves, father fighting with son, brother fighting with brother, sister and mother, and thus and that's 100 issues. look at this beautiful personalities of the Ahlul Bayt of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that it was never any personal matter. Whatever the case was, they would always be smiling, they would always be sweet, and they would forgive whoever was on the other hand. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Inshallah, we'll take a short break now and listen to a few beautiful Madani pools, Madani flowers, inshallah. And as soon as we return, inshallah, we will then carry on our discussion with regards to the incident of Karbala, moving towards the conclusion of the incident in this short space of time which we have, inshallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Muharram al-Haram is a virtuous month, and in fact, it's the first month of the Islamic year. In this month, many historical events took place. And one of the most renowned incidents was the tragedy of Karbala. So many lessons can be learnt. Lessons of patience, lessons of perseverance, standing up for the truth, and never giving into falsehood. These are beautiful lessons that we learn from Sayyid al-Shuhada Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala an. Now, when we face difficulties in our lives, sometimes we think, nobody's faced a difficulty like me. Nobody's faced problems like me, calamities like me. They can't relate to me. The great Mufti Ahmad Yar Khan Naimi rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that the tragedy of Karbala was such a massive tragedy, a tragedy of colossal amount, that whenever you face difficulty in your life, think about those who suffered in Karbala. Think about those who were tested in Karbala. And your difficulty will automatically seem trivial. That's not to say we're not going through problems. We are going through problems. But are we in the middle of a hot desert, deprived of water? Are our children being martyred before our eyes? Are the women folk from our family being abused? Ma'adhallah? None of this. So we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that for the sake of the Shuhada of Karbala and those who accompanied Imam Hussein radiallahu an in Karbala, we are given patience. The first thing that scholars say is that you should ask for afiyah, well-being, that you don't even face difficulties. But if difficulties are in your muqaddar, your destiny, then you must face them. And that's where you're supposed to ask for patience upon those difficulties. Ya Allah, grant me sabr upon those difficulties and calamities. And always remember, the waqi'a of Karbala, the people of Karbala were tested to an extent that we have never been tested. For their sake, may Allah forgive our sins, ease our affairs, and grant us afiyah in abundance.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, marhaba, welcome back. You are watching Madani Channel English, and very beautifully we are bringing to you this wonderful episode, this wonderful series, a sacred month with sacred lessons. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. And before the break, we discussed just when Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu was on the way to Kufa, and on the way, this person by the name of Hur came to Sayyidina Imam Hussein with an army of 1,000 people, fully equipped. And, you know, the plans was to stop Sayyidina Imam Hussein and take him to Ibn Ziyad. And the beautiful hospitality of Sayyidina Imam Hussein is that he offered them water, gave them, you know, made them, you know, feel appropriate, gave their horses, their camels, their rides also water, and took care of them. This was the beautiful attribute of the Ahlul Bayt of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Hur says that he wasn't aware of the letters which were sent to Sayyidina Imam Hussein, and his only order which was given to him was escort Sayyidina Imam Hussein to Ibn Ziyad. Ji Munasab, can you carry on the discussion?
Yes, so when he stopped Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu to return back, so he told him that I have been commanded to escort you until you reach Ibn Ziyad. So then Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu continued his journey to Karbala. So Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu finally reached in the field of Karbala. That was the second of Muharram al-Haram, when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached in Karbala. After Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu reached in Karbala, he understood that this is the place that you know, we all will be made shaheed. So he addressed his Ahle Bayt. He gave a nice, beautiful khutbah to them after praising Almighty Allah. he said to his companions and Ahl-e Bayt, I have not seen any of the anyone's companions on this earth who is more loyal than my companions. I have not seen any of the family on this earth who is more pious than my family. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who said to them that these Yazidis are thirsty of my blood. It is very dark at this time. It's night time. No one is watching you. I'm happily permitting you, allowing you to leave this place and go wherever you want to go. You will not be blamed due to this thing because they are thirsty of my blood. Once they kill me, after that, they will not follow you. They will not go behind you because they only, you know, want my blood. They want to murder me, kill me. So when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala said this to the companions, his the Ahl-e Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Alti Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his nephews, his sons, his other relatives, all, you know, arose and, you know, spoke together and said that, what are you suggesting us? You're suggesting us that we must leave you alone and you must be killed and after that we remain alive on this earth? What are you suggesting? You, we will sacrifice our life for your sake on your blessed feet. In front of our eyes, we will not let you be shaheed. We will become shaheed first. We will sacrifice our lives first. Then after that, you know, your turn will come, O Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So then, you know, the Saad radiallahu ta'ala anhu stood up. The other Sahaba Ikram radiallahu alayhi wa ajma'in, other companions, they also stood up and said that they expressed their love and devotion for Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Meaning many Sahaba Ikram, many companions, they expressed their devotion and love to Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And no one left Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All were ready to sacrifice their life for the sake of Allah, for the sake of the Nana Jan of Imam Hussein, and for the sake of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They spent entire night in the worship of Almighty Allah. Meaning after Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu delivered khutbah and gave them the choice to leave, you know, when they all decided to remain with Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu and sacrifice their lives in the bargah of Almighty Allah on the feet of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 3 days before the battle started, before the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, the family of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu never drank even a single drop of water. On the 10th of Muharram al-Haram, you know, when the sun, after performing Fajr Salah, when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu performed Fajr with his family, with the companions, you know, the sun rose. And the army of Yazidis, you know, they also made lines to start the battle. After, you know, they... Yazidis, you know, came in the battlefield. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who gave khutbah to them as well. He went forward for itmam-e-hujjat so that on the day of judgment, they can't give any excuse in the bargah of Almighty Allah. They can't give any evidence in the bargah of Almighty Allah. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who went to them, spoke to them, addressed them and said them that, don't you know that I am the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Don't you know that I am the only grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the planet at the moment, on the earth at the moment, from east to west, wherever you go, you will never find anyone who is the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't you know that my father was the lion of Almighty Allah, Ali al-Murtada, Shere Khuda, Karram Allahu Ta'ala, Wajhul Kareem, who accepted Islam. Don't you know that my mother was Fatima to Zahra, Radi Allahu Ta'ala, who, don't you know about the dignity of my mother, that on the day of judgment, it will be announced that lower your gaze, lower your head, so that the lady of Jannah, lady of paradise, the leader of the ladies of the paradise, woman of paradise, Sayyidatuna Fatima to Zahra, Radi Allahu Ta'ala, can pass the bridge of Sirat. So, you know, she will be accompanied with 70,000 hoors of Jannah and then she will pass the bridge of Sirat. She will enter Jannah. Don't you know that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said about me and my brother that we are the leaders of the youth of Jannah? Don't you know that Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said this about me, has said this about me, has said this about my brother? And if you don't trust on what I am saying, in fact, I am saying truth, but if you don't trust me in regards to all those ahadith which I am quoting to you, you can still ask all those companions who are still present, you know, today. You can go to them and ask them about those ahadith of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which they have mentioned about me, about my excellence, about the excellence of his grandsons. So today, if you are going to fight with me, if you are going to kill me, if you are going to kill my family, you are going to destroy your akhirah. What answer you will give in the bargah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment? What answer will you give in the bargah of Almighty Allah on the day of judgment? So, but they were disgusting people. They were filthy people. Nothing, you know, it did not make any difference to them. So they said that don't mention your excellences now. Don't mention your fadail now. It's the time to accept the bayat and pledge allegiance in the hand of Yazid, or otherwise be ready for the war. You will be killed, in the battlefield. You know, when all this was happening, Ibn Sa'd was present with the army of 20,000 people. How covered they were, buzdil they were, that in front of 72 people, 20,000 soldiers full of weapons, spears, arrows, swords, horses, lot of other things they carried with them to fight against the Ahl-e Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were reciting kalima. They used to believe in the oneness of Almighty Allah. They used to believe in the risala of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They used to claim to love Sayyidina Aliul Murtada karram Allahu ta'ala wajhul kareem. They used to claim to love Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But due to the greed of the wealth of this dunya, they forgot everything. They wanted to attain some status, some ranks in the bargah of Yazid, in the court of Yazid. For this purpose, they forgot everything. This greed of dunya made them blind. They could not understand. They could not understand the value and the importance and the status and the ranks of the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala realized that they are not going to accept any of the offers, he offered them few things. When he realized that they are not going to accept any of the offers, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala went back to his tent to prepare his army, to prepare his family for the battle. You know, Hur was watching all that, and Hur was the person who stopped Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but he did not realize at that time that they will treat Imam Hussein in this manner. So now he spoke to Ibn Sa'd that, are you really going to treat Imam Hussein like this? Are you serious in your intentions? Are you going to kill the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What answer you are going to give on the day of judgment in the bargah of Almighty Allah? Your abode will be Jahannam if you kill Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. What intention do you have? So he said that Ibn Sa'd said that there is no any other intention but only to kill them, and there will be heads and hands and bodies laying on this ground today. When the battle started, so first of all, this Sahaba of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came forward, Abdullah bin Wahab Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who came to, when he heard that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu is present in Karbala and is being treated in this way, Ati Abdullah bin Wahab Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu came with his wife to sacrifice their life in the bargah of Almighty Allah. First, Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain went to the battlefield. They killed many of the Yazidis. After that, Ati Abdullah bin Wahab Kalbi radiallahu ta'ala anhu went, Ati Hur radiallahu ta'ala anhu went, when they also killed many of the Yazidis. After that, they all attained Shahada. They became Shaheed in the bargah of Almighty Allah. Then, after that, the children of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, from the other wife, Hazrat Abdullah, Hazrat Usman, Hazrat Muhammad, and some other relatives of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they also took permission from Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They also went to the battlefield, and they also killed many Yazidis. They also became Shaheed in the bargah of Almighty Allah. Then after that, Hazrat Qasim, the son of Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sought permission from Sayyidina Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. First of all, Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not allow him and told him that you are the one who remind me of your Abu Jan, of my brother, Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. I can't allow you. But when he expressed his desire of Shahada, I also want to be sacrificed in the bargah of Almighty Allah. I also want to be made Shaheed in the bargah of Almighty Allah. Finally, Imam Hussein hugged him and allowed him to go to the battlefield. When Hazrat Qasim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, went to the battlefield, it was looking like the moon from the sky has come down on the ground, on the field of Karbala. He is the son of Hazrat Imam Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Attack him collectively. So they all attacked collectively, they started shooting arrows, spears to Qasim radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Finally, he fell down from the horse. He said that,
my uncle Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, find me, adrikni, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu came and carried him on his shoulder, put his head in his Mubarak lap, wiped his face, and then he opened his eyes, looked at Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, smiled, and his soul departed his body. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Imam Qasim radiallahu ta'ala anhu also, you know, attained Shahadat in the battlefield of Karbala. Then after that, Hazrat Ali Akbar, the beloved son of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, also sought permission. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu said that they are thirsty of my blood, rather let me go, because they will not say anything to you after they kill me. I won't allow you to go. If I allow you, so it means that I must allow you to go and become the target of the enemies, to be killed, to be cut into pieces by the Yazidis. I can't allow you. But he said that when Qasim has attained Shahada, when other Sahaba, other companions have attained Shahada, I also want to attain Shahada, and I also want to become Shaheed. Finally, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave him permission. He tied Imam Ashrif on the head of Sayyidina Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself. He tied a belt around his back and then, you know, gave him his own sword. So Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu went in the battlefield. You know, he killed the Yazidis the way we cut the carrot. So he killed them, cut them into pieces. He defeated many Yazidis. Finally, you know, Hazrat Ali Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu also became Shaheed. Then after that, Hazrat Zainul Abidin radiallahu ta'ala anhu sought permission from Imam Hussain. But Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not allow him. And he said that if you also go and become Shaheed, then who will look after the women of the Ahl Bayt? Who will be their mahram? Who will, you know, take them to Madinatul Munawwara after me? So you are the one through whom my lineage will continue. So I will not allow you. At the same time, you are sick. You don't have power to fight. You are not in the position of going to the battlefield. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu tied his turban on the head of Imam Zainul Abidin and granted him his khilafah, in other words. And then Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu left. He went to the battlefield. You just imagine the whole scenario when the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leaving. All the Ahl Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been made Shaheed. The women of the Ahl Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were watching all that. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu conveyed the final greeting to Hazrat Zainul Abidin, to the Ahl Bayt, to his family, to his daughter and wife. And then Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes to the battlefield. He again, you know, addresses the army of Ibn Sa'd, Yazidis, and, you know, mentions his excellencies, mentions, you know, his dignity. And, you know, just for itimam hujjat, one more time he delivered a beautiful khutbah and told them that you must not do this, otherwise you will be destroyed, and on the day of judgment you will not be able to answer in the bargah of Almighty Allah. But those filthy, disgusting people, they could not understand the value of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Finally, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu also, you know, started fighting with them. He announced that one who wants to compete with me, challenge me, he must come and compete. One by one, you know, many of the Yazidis, they came, they fought against Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They all were killed by Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Whoever was coming in front of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the lion of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the lion of Allah, Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, would kill him. And then, you know, when they realized that this lion cannot be fought alone, so they decided to attack him collectively. They started, you know, throwing, shooting arrows from all over, from all the four corners, arrows, spears, and then finally they martyred Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He fell down from his horse, prostrate in the bargah of Almighty Allah, thanked Almighty Allah. Then his head was separated from the blessed body. Then after that, this journey of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu completed. Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu sacrificed his entire family, his, you know, all the companions, his whole Ahl Bayt, entire Ahl Bayt, for the sake of the deen of Almighty Allah, for the sake of the sunnah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the sake of protecting the sunnah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How painful this shahadat of Imam Hussain and shahadat of the Ahl Bayt and the family of Imam Hussain radiallahu ta'ala anhu would have been for Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After the battlefield, after this battle of Karbala, Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, the wife of Hazrat, one of the freed slave of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went to Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, and so that she is crying. She asked Hazrat Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, why are you crying? So she said that I have seen my Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, and I saw him in a situation that his beard and his hair were covered with dust. So I asked Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is your this condition? So Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that I am coming back from Karbala, where my son, my grandson Imam Hussain has been made shaheed. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas also says the same thing. He also had a dream. He also saw Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, had covered his face, his beard, his hair, you know, were covered with dust. He asked Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding a bottle in his hand which was filled with blood. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that I asked Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what is this, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in your hand? Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the blood which I was collecting since morning, the blood of my Ahle Bayt, blood of Imam Hussein, blood of the family of Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They all have been made shaheed in Karbala. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas says, I remembered the date and the time of the dream, and then after that, after a while, I heard that Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu has been made shaheed in Karbala. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu sacrificed his entire life, his entire family, Ahle Bayt of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the end, he sacrificed his own life as well for the sake of the deen of Almighty Allah, for the sake of protecting the sunnah of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never pledged allegiance in the hand of a person who was fasik, was fajir, was sinner, who attacked Madinatul Munawwara, was filthy, was disobedient of Almighty Allah. He disobeyed Almighty Allah. Imam Hussein radiallahu ta'ala, who decided to sacrifice his life, to sacrifice his entire family, you know, to protect the deen of Almighty Allah, but he never ever agreed to do bayat in the hand of this filthy person.
Allah subhanallah, jazakallah munasir for that faith. Enlightening, beautiful discussion, summary obviously of the entire incident of Karbala. There are so many lessons which can be discussed, which needs to be, derived from this incident, but time is not permitting us. And if you look at the entire incident of Karbala, we see that when Islam demanded that Islam, the honor, the dignity of Islam needs to be defended, then Sayyidina Imam Hussein went and he opposed the enemies of Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dr. Iqbal very beautifully says, Bataye Sheikh, kyu gaya meydan mein Ibn Ali, agar hujre mein hoti roshan shamma-e imani. What is the reason that Sayyidina Imam Hussein went to Karbala and fought against Yazid was to, you know, give a spark to that candle of iman in the hearts of every Muslim and every believer until Qiyamah. And this is the incident of Karbala. Today, unfortunately, we try to learn our deen from influences, from people who don't have proper mindsets, from people who take their deen from historians and those kinds of things. No. The true facts of Karbala is, as Munasa mentioned, in the light of the Quran and the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be'adab gustakh firqe ko sunade hasan, yu kahan karte hai sunni Dastane Ahle Bayt. And this is the way, you know, everyone should spread the message of Ahle Bayt Adhar, the message of Karbala, the true incident of Karbala. People try to give a picture and depict a picture of zulm, oppression and crying and mourning and all sorts of nonsense in these days of Muharram, whereas the essence of Karbala is, you know, a boost for your iman. It's a motivation of your iman. It's not a moment of crying and wailing. It's a moment of taking a stance and saying that today my stand is that whenever there's going to be an attack against Islam, an attack against Allah and His beloved Rasul, an attack against the Sahaba of my beloved Nabi, an attack against the Ahle Bayt Adhar, then our duty is to stand and fight for the cause of Islam. You kahan karte hai sunni dastane Ahle Bayt. Munasab, jazakallah so much for those wonderful, beautiful words. that I'm sure it must be very difficult to explain everything and try to explain everything in the short time, but you did a wonderful and splendid job. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you abundance of barakah in your ilm, in your amal, so you may continue teaching us, we may continue benefiting from you as well. And to our viewers and listeners, inshallah, tomorrow in our final episode, we will be discussing the lessons which we can derive from the incident of Karbala. A very important discussion, and that will be our final episode with you. But alhamdulillah, I myself, many of us have learned lots of things throughout the entire series. Please act upon whatever you learn and save yourselves from misguided and corrupted people. Remember, instill the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your heart, in your mind. This love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love by Allah, you have everything. You lose this love by Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you inshallah tomorrow. Once again, same time, same place. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
A sacred month with sacred lessons, a month of reflection, a month of grace, a month of reflection, a month of grace, seeking sacred lessons in this blessed place, seeking sacred lessons in this blessed place.